I'll try to get this in under an hour and a half. But let's be honest, that last message was not 30 minutes. I made sure I looked at that clock when it was done. Jesus says, this is incredible, really. Jesus said, all right, what we're about to read is what Jesus actually said. I know all of this book is, we could argue, as Jesus said, but there were some things that he literally said when he was here upon this earth. Verily, doesn't make it more God's word than any other part of this book, but it affects me to know Jesus said these things. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Has no real interest in the sheep. Has no real interest in leading the sheep to where they need to go. They're thieves and robbers. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You can't get any more direct than that. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. That is a personal care for the sheep. An ownership care for the sheep. A relationship care for the sheep. A I know my sheep by name kind of relationship with the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This thing is bigger than just you and me, and it's bigger than just your relationship with Him. It involves the relationship of the Father and Son too. This is deep, this is big, this is really more comprehensive and deeper than anything that I have said in any messages leading up to today and anything I'll say today. This reaches into eternity. And the relationship of the Father and Son is being worked out in time. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the time element. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. The time element. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. You know from our reading of our preaching through John, and we'll continue to see it as we work our way through John, there is this love relationship between this intimate relationship between the Father and the Son that Jesus wants the Jews to know about, and He wants you and I to know about it. And everything He is doing is an outworking of that everlasting love, which He's going to pray about in John 17. My Father loved me before the foundation of the world, before any of this, before anything. There was that relationship. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus coming into this world was not guesswork. He wasn't rolling the dice. He wasn't hoping that something would happen that was planned in eternity. He came for a purpose. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, the authority, the right to lay it down. By the way, in this sense, you don't have that right and that authority. It's not for you to choose how you're going to lay your life down. But He has that. He's the only one who has that. I'm talking about in a literal sense. And I have power to take it again. See, this commandment have I received of my Father. Those are pretty significant words. This commandment have I received of my Father. You haven't received such a commandment like that. He did. He came to fulfill that commandment, to lay His life down, that He might take it again. Now, we lay our lives down in a figurative, a spiritual sense, and it does lead to literal kind of lifestyle, literal choices. That in fact may literally lead to martyrdom. But that's not what we're aiming for. And so there's a difference. And I thought that might be worth commenting on. Jesus teaches us that there are two folds from which His sheep have been called. And from which His sheep continue to be called. There's the Jewish fold. Bound by the Mosaic Law Covenant, which we read about in the Old Testament, and that's what the Old Testament is really about. It was never intended to be an end in itself, but it was intended to point to Jesus Christ. We heard that in the last hour. And those shadows were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Paul writes that Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The Jewish fold. Then there's the Gentile fold. That's the fold that is without God. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. They were once without God. It doesn't mean they were just once unsaved. It was they were once without God. They had no Jehovah God. They had no relationship with Jehovah God. There was darkness, there was blackness, there was idolatry. It wasn't that they were godless, there were many gods. But the Gentiles as a people were consumed with idolatry and the darkness of gross immorality. That was the existence of the Gentile world. And so the Jewish fold, having an acknowledgement of Jehovah God, and the Gentile fold having no acknowledgement of Jehovah God. These are the folds from which Jesus says, I'm calling my sheep. Both the Jewish and the Gentile folds in and of themselves offer only despair and everlasting destruction. And so Jesus, in His own words, is announcing here in John chapter 10 the mission that He came to earth to fulfill. The sheep that He talks about here in John 10 represent those from the Jew and Gentile folds that the Father gave to the Son, which you heard quoted in the last hour, John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The sheep are in trouble. The sheepfold in this context is not a place for the sheep to remain. Now, there is a sense in which we speak of the safety of the fold. There are songs that talk about the safety of being in the fold. And so that's typically what we think of when we think of a sheepfold. But in this context, we don't think of the fold in that way. At least, I don't believe that's the proper way of understanding the fold here in John 10. Because it's out of these folds that we are led, that we are brought, whether it be the Jewish or the Gentile fold. The Jews are brought out from under the law, representing that tireless effort after righteousness and the blood of bulls and goats which they came to trust in without seeing what it represented. And the endless ceremony that will never ultimately satisfy the just demands of the holy God. You can, in this day and age, you can go back to the Mosaic Law and try to obey every jot and tittle, and you will not be brought to Jesus Christ by way of the law. Focusing on the law. Living under the law. But then there's the Gentiles who are without law. The Jews under law. The Gentiles without law. Do those terms sound familiar? The New Testament uses that terminology in Romans chapter 2. You can read it. And these are those, like you and me, who, at least our heritage, Gentile heritage, is a rejection of Jehovah. We have created our own gods, our heritage did, and we were born in that heritage, unless we were born into a family where God's Word meant something, and many of you were born into a family like that, thankfully. And so there's kind of a resemblance to the Jews for many of us. The Gentiles without law represent those who deny God and they live life with no reference to deity, but they fill up their own heart's lust with every imaginable immorality and wickedness. And you know where you read about that? In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a description of those who reject God. A description of those who say, no God, who deny that which every single person is born into this world knowing innately because it's stamped on their created heart that God is. There's a witness in every single person at birth. Jews under the law taught there is Jehovah God, and so many of them were brought up thinking there is a God, there is Jehovah God, there is only one God. And by the way, there's offshoots of that, and Islam is one of those. The Gentile world thought differently. And Romans chapter 1, I believe, is a description of that genre of people in the world. And then Romans chapter 2 is a description of the Jews who know that there is a God, who confess that there is only one God, and they are seeking to earn their own righteousness. And it doesn't really matter which fold you come from. We all have the same problem. And Paul summarizes this in Romans chapter 3. Listen to these verses. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sheep in both folds must be led out, must be brought out, or they will remain under the guilt, the condemnation, and control of sin that will destroy them, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus says to the religious leaders here in John chapter 10. And I think also his message applies to Gentile philosophers back then as well as in our day. I am the door out of the bondage of futile effort to justify yourselves before God. I am the door out of the bondage of self-worship. I am the door out of the emptiness of life in captivity to sin and separation from God. I am the door. But there are other voices. And a stranger, verse 5 says, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There are other voices. Jesus' voice has competing voices in the world. The Jewish voice. And we speak representatively here when we speak of the Jewish voice and the Gentile voice. But the Jewish voice will say to you, and maybe some of you here today who are seekers, you're thinking that maybe God is, and maybe I need to take God seriously. And there is a Jewish voice that says to you, the law is sufficient. You just need to try harder. You need to be more devoted. Surely you can earn your own way. Don't turn your back on your religious heritage or tradition. Your family religion is all you need. Those are popular voices in our day. The Gentile voice, on the other hand, would say to you, God, if there is such a being, surely doesn't expect perfection. That's unreasonable. Just do the best you can. It almost sounds like the same tune by a different name. There's certainly not one way to God, if there is a God. In fact, really, God is a very personal thing. God is a very personal thing. God is who you want Him to be, or whatever He is to you. And so your God is one thing, my God is another thing. Just find peace in yourself. Don't listen to those who preach a narrow way. And then you have the voice of Jesus. It's very different, isn't it? Jesus is talking here. And it's a very different voice from the Jewish voice on from the Gentile voice. He calls to his sheep bound by sin. The shepherd stands at the door. And he also is the door, but he stands at the door. That's the picture here. And calls you out of the fold that you're in. And he says, I am the door. So he stands at whatever fold you're in. Wherever you are here today. Whatever fold you're bound in today. And he says, I am the door. The only way out of the bondage and the darkness of sin into the light and life of righteousness. But you've heard that already. But that's not where Jesus ends his train of thought here. You see, salvation in Jesus Christ does not end at the door. There is an entrance. You do come out and come in. You come out of what you were into. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that happened, right? It began. And so there is an entrance into freedom from sin that's found only in Jesus. But He is the shepherd that leads His sheep. In another place, Jesus speaks of salvation as entering a narrow door onto a narrow way. There's a door, but there's a way. All right? And it leads to everlasting life. The door is entering, the way is getting there. And you know, both are the same. They're both Jesus. They're both the same. He's the door. He's the shepherd. The shepherd knows and he keeps his sheep. And the sheep follow the shepherd, and that's what I want to get across to you today in this message. There's a relationship for life and eternity that begins when the sinner turns from sin and self-righteousness to follow the Savior. And so there are two main points here. First is, Jesus does not abandon His sheep at the door. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'm saying, the shepherd does not abandon his sheep at the door. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus does not call us by name, leading us to the door, which is to say leading us to himself and then disappear. He calls us to a life with Him. He calls us into a relationship with Him. Salvation, this is really important. Salvation is not simply a gate experience. I was reading someone this past week who was making this kind of observation that if you have in a moment of time believed, whatever that means, you believed in a moment of time, it's over. It's finished. You're forever secure. That is not the salvation that is proclaimed in this book. It is not simply a gate experience. We come to the door, and what we find at the door is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. We find the shepherd. And so at the door, we enter into a relationship with the one who gave his life for us. And now he lives to make intercession for us, to borrow the Apostle Paul's terminology. And he teaches us, to stay with John's message, which we'll see later on. And he leads us safely through the dangerous path of life, which is what we see here in John chapter 10. Jesus takes personal responsibility for the care of His sheep. Could you let that sink in a little bit? Jesus takes personal responsibility for the care of His sheep. We cost Him the humiliation of death on the cross. He is not going to abandon His sheep. And He's not going to leave our security with hirelings. He is not going to trust a hired hand to make sure His sheep are called, led out, and led into everlasting life. He takes this thing personally. The shepherd is well aware of the dangers facing his sheep. And he keeps a watchful eye. I tried to find the lyrics to Mark Webb's song, The Shepherd. I think that's what it's called. High atop a commanding rock sits a lonely man. And I wish I could remember the rest of it. I got that much. But he's overseeing the valley, in the valley, he's overseeing his sheep. And he's got a high-powered rifle. And he's watching. And Mark wrote those lyrics based upon his own experience out west of shepherds. Watching, looking out, and seeing a shepherd. Seeing the sheep, they looked like they were all alone. But then he spotted the shepherd high atop a commanding rock. Those sheep weren't alone. The shepherd was watching. The shepherd was caring. Those were his sheep down in that valley. And he's well aware of the dangers, the predators, the wolves, as Jesus talks about here in John 10. Well aware of that. Jesus is intimately aware of our condition. He's intimately aware of your condition, whatever your condition is. And it doesn't really matter what your condition is. You say, well, if he was my shepherd, why do I have this condition? That's the way our minds want to reason. Rather than saying, he's my shepherd, he knows my condition. And he's caring for me. In this condition. The threats that face us, the dangers that are lurking, he knows all about it. And as the good shepherd, his death and resurrection secures every blessing we need. All you have to do when you're thinking about these things is remember the cross, dear sheep. Remember, he came to give his life that he might take it again. That's what this is all wrapped. His care for you and me is wrapped up in that event of the shepherd. That's why Romans chapter 8 is so precious to the child of God. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us? You don't have to earn this thing. Freely give us all things. How do I know? How do I know the shepherd's going to stick with me all the way? How do I know the shepherd is going to stay with me all the way to the end? How do I know the shepherd's going to fulfill his commitment to me? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. He came to give his life that he might take it again. Who is even at the right hand of God, high atop a commanding rock. He's watching. He's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What are the predators? What are the predators that seek to separate you, the sheep, from the love of Christ? From your sense of His love? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's interesting. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's your shepherd right there. Later in the Gospel of John, we're going to come to it in chapter 14. John quotes Jesus again as he speaks to his disciples and speaks to you and me who are his sheep. And he says this, I will not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless, let me give you the Greek word. Tell me if it sounds like anything that you're familiar with. Orphanos. Orphanos. Orphan. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you fatherless. I'll not leave you without the comfort of a caring shepherd, a caring father. He says, Jesus said this, I will come to you. And how has He done that? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brethren, we have a good shepherd who has called us, and He continues to speak to His sheep. Listen, He continues. This is one side of the coin that I'm talking about here. It's your shepherd. And He calls. He called you when you were in that pen that you were in, that bondage that you were in. He called and you came to the door. He is your shepherd, and you enter into a relationship to the shepherd, but the shepherd doesn't stop speaking. He is committed to us. He will not let us go. He will not let us be destroyed. Our confidence cannot be in any other sheep. Too many of us are reaching for somebody, for some preacher, some person, some acquaintance, some human relationship. That's what we're reaching for. And I'm telling you, you're reaching for the wrong thing. Don't reach for the sheep. Reach for the shepherd. And that's not to say it's not important to be with the sheep. I'm going to conclude with that. But you need the shepherd. Our confidence cannot be in other sheep. And this has helped me out because, frankly, as a pastor, I get really bogged down. I'll probably talk about this more next week. But I get really bogged down as an under-shepherd. And I take it upon myself to be the good shepherd. I take it upon myself sometimes to be the great shepherd. But I'm neither. And that's a huge burden to bear. To think that it's my responsibility, that I am accountable for keeping the sheep, ultimately for keeping the sheep where they need to be. I'm not. No human being is. And so our confidence cannot be in other sheep. And so if you, as a sheep, if you wonder, and there's some that are wondering right now at Community Baptist Church, they're wondering, they're off. I can't get to them, but you know who can? If they're His, He will. The Good Shepherd. And so my confidence is in Him ultimately, for myself and for others. But listen, if you're His sheep, your heart is drawn out after Him. This is the normal thing for sheep. Like a sheep who hears the reassuring and guiding voice of the shepherd. You hear the voice and it's meaningful to you. You're attracted to His voice. And so we're shifting gears here now. Here's the other side of the coin. Sheep will follow the shepherd. What does verse 14 say? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows you. He won't forget you. He won't let you go. He's a good shepherd. You're His own and He's called you by name. But that's not where He ends the statement. He says, and am known of mine. And verses 3 and 4. The sheep hear His voice. They know His voice. This is very straightforward as Jesus clearly pictures the relationship of His people to Himself. His sheep will follow Him. This is their nature. They hear Him. They know Him. They enter into relationship with Him. This is a striking picture. And I got online and we have access to these things now, and I Googled shepherd calling his sheep. And I did this a couple of weeks ago. And the first time I saw what I saw, I just had goosebumps running up and down me watching what I watched. There's sheep out in the pasture. And these individuals, you couldn't see who all was there. You just hear voices. Somebody's doing a home video thing. And this person goes up and I couldn't understand what they were saying, but they were making noises. And the sheep just had their heads down. I mean, they didn't hear that voice. A second person came and made some different noises. The sheep didn't budge. And I think a third person came and did the same thing and the same result. And then the shepherd walked up to the fence, stood at the same place, and said whatever he said. And it was incredible. Immediately, the heads came up. And they looked. And they started running to the shepherd. Did you know that God created sheep for a purpose? And it wasn't just so you could have a wool suit. Do you think God knew how sheep would act when He created them? Don't you see that everything in His creation has a design to it? And so Jesus wasn't just scratching His head here in John 10 saying, well, what would be the best example of what I'm talking about the relationship I have? Oh, yeah. He knew it all along. He came into this world knowing that He was going to use sheep as an illustration of the relationship, the sheep-shepherd relationship, of His relationship to His people and their relationship to Him. What a striking picture! His sheep will follow Him. His sheep will to follow Him. They desire to follow Him. They want to follow Him. We know Him. And listen, if you're a sheep, you are most content when you've got the shepherd in sight. Now, to get theological here just for a moment, we hear His voice as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, right? John has already covered this in John chapter 3. You must be born again. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have ears to hear what we once were deaf to. Why do you hear now and you didn't hear before? We see what we once were blind to. And we respond to what we once were rebellious against. You know you are a sheep when the voice of strangers is no longer the voice that you follow. But you are attracted to the voice of the shepherd. If you're from a Jewish fold, a religious fold, a fold that's been spent your whole life trying to measure up to somebody's standard so that you can be accepted by God, you no longer hear that voice. That's a strange voice to you. You see through that. That's not your shepherd. And if you're from the Gentile fold where you were godless and you lived darkened, immoral life and you had there was no moral compass as you ruled God out of your life, you no longer listen to that voice. That's not the voice that attracts you. Paul talks about this, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 4. Here he's speaking in the context of Gentiles. And he says, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." That's where, as he speaks to these Ephesians, remember, This is the same epistle where he says you once were without God. God was ruled out. God was irrelevant except for the gods of your own making. That's the way the Gentiles are. And here he's saying that's the way the other Gentiles walk. That is the unregenerate, those that aren't born again. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Do any of you remember when that described you? I connect more with the Jewish fold, by the way. Some of you connect more with the Gentile fold. In other words, these folks weren't, at least on the surface, self-righteous. These folks didn't care about it. It didn't matter. Who cares? You live, you die. I'm here today, gone tomorrow. Right? That's the Gentile thinking. There is no accountability. There is no one to answer to. There is no God. And we're living in a culture of folks today who, though this has been a religious nation, increasingly, there is that spirit in our land. Right? But verse 20. If you're a sheep, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have, what does it say? Heard Him. He's called. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, those garments that you once wrapped yourself up with in the flesh, you're getting rid of those things which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's a description of a sheep right there. That's hearing the voice of the shepherd and following. The natural desire of sheep is to follow the shepherd. And so I ask you today, are you tuned to Him? Do you have ears to hear? Or is it possible that you have distanced yourself from Him? We have that analogy in Scripture as well, don't we? The sheep, they get separated from the sheep, and the shepherd having to go search for that sheep. And oh, He will not let you go if you're His. But your distance from Him may explain the agitation and the anxiety and the fear in your life. You feel yourself eaten up with all kinds of internal turmoil and frustrations and tensions. It very well may be that you have simply taken your eyes off the shepherd. You're not listening. I heard an illustration. Somebody said they were in a Middle Eastern town, in a busy town, and there was a shepherd that was leading a flock of sheep. And these aren't large flocks, but there were a few sheep, and he was leading these sheep down a path in the city, and he turned the corner. And as soon as he turned the corner, these sheep went spastic. They got all kinds of agitated and concerned, and the one fellow said, "What's wrong with those sheep?" He said, "Just hang on." And as soon as they rounded that corner and saw their shepherd, calm. Does that say anything to you? Maybe there's some of you here today who need to return. Maybe you need to get your eyes on your shepherd. You've lost sight. Remember Peter's words, 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Don't ever take your eyes off the shepherd. Keep listening to the voice of the shepherd. Let me make one final point. Sheep don't follow the shepherd alone. There shall be, Jesus said, there shall be one fold or one flock in verse 16. One fold, or the word fold there is different from the other words translated fold, as I've told you before. One flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. And though that may mean a number of things theologically, here in the context of this message and the picture that we're seeing here, this is certainly a picture of the great body of believers in Christ who are no longer divided as Jew and Gentile, but are one flock and one shepherd. But visibly, this works out in the context of local churches. As we gather, or as we are gathered from various backgrounds, yet out of a common bondage to sin and into the glorious liberty of Christ, and we are living this out together as one flock. As sheep, we want to be where our shepherd has promised to gather with us. And where has the shepherd promised to be? He said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And there he's talking in the context of the kingdom, the invisible aspect of this kingdom that we talk about, the power and the rule of God over all his people manifested in the church in Matthew 18. He said in Hebrews chapter 2, a quotation from the Psalm, but a reference to Jesus. He's in the midst of the church. He says, there I will sing praise unto thee in the midst of the church. Jesus is gathered with the church. Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus says, I will walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the church. Or church, the seven of them. What's the point? And this thought just came to me. I think it was this morning. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it's a point that's not as big a point as I think it is, but I'll make it and let you judge. What's the plural for sheep? What's the plural for sheep? Sheep. What's the singular for sheep? That may be a message in itself. Sheep want to gather with the sheep. And so whether we're speaking of, you can't speak really of a sheep without speaking of sheep. It's the very characteristic of a sheep to gather. It is troubling when professing believers want to isolate themselves. Something's not right. They're not acting like a sheep because sheep don't like to be alone. They want to be with the sheep. It's very dangerous for a sheep to separate from the sheep. Very dangerous. Did you know that one of the protective mechanisms for a sheep is to be with the sheep? Isolate a sheep from the sheep and the wolves will have fun. Do you see the point I'm driving at here? How important it is that we gather together, that we live our lives in the context of other sheep. Christ, our shepherd, intends for us to follow him as a flock. You know what shepherds call that? Flocking. There's a whole site on how to raise sheep. It's not a Christian site. And they call it flocking. Do you like to flock? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I like the flock. You know? I mean, this morning when we came together and I'm singing. Now, I could have sung those songs all by myself somewhere and probably been affected by it, but I tell you what, it affected me a whole lot more singing them with you. And there's just so many things that could be said about this, and I'm not going to drag this on and on, but just get the point. A characteristic of sheep is to be part of the fold, not to be isolated, but to follow the shepherd together. We follow the shepherd together. We're together in this thing. We have one shepherd. He's not just my shepherd, he's ours. Oh, he's mine too, and I'm thankful for that, but he's ours, right? Together. Does the description of the relationship of shepherd and sheep resonate in your soul? As you've listened to some of the things that's been said, as you read John chapter 10, does it resonate with you? Have you turned, come out of the fold that once bound you and entered through the door to follow the shepherd? The identifying mark of Christ's sheep is primarily the voice that you're following. Ask yourself this morning, what voice are you following? Who are you listening to? Who's leading you? Are you listening to strangers' voices who would pull you away from your shepherd? I don't care if we're talking about a religious voice or whether we're talking about a secular voice. Are you following the voice of the shepherd? Truly following him and enjoying the protection and the peace of being with him. And so you see today there are two sides to this relationship. He knows his sheep. And he has done and will do what is necessary to bring them to himself. Brothers and sisters, fellow sheep, that has quieted my soul over and over again. And those seasons where it seems that I don't know where the shepherd is, where my soul feels darkened, where I do not emotionally connect with the reality that I have a shepherd, I go back and anchor my faith on that which has been revealed to me. And how does faith come? We heard that earlier. How does faith come? By hearing the word. Oh, you Christians, you Bible-thumping Christians, you know, faith, 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 faith. That's because you're not a sheep. You don't understand. Or if you are a sheep, you just have not yet been given the ears of the sheep to hear. We can get real theological here, but the point is, I don't have to prove to you anything. I hear my shepherd. I hear the shepherd. And I follow the shepherd. For you see, his sheep know him. And they hear his voice. And they follow him. Wherever he leads, for those that Jesus was talking to here, he hadn't yet gone to the cross. And so for any of the sheep that were listening to him there, where would they have followed him? If they followed the shepherd, where would they have gone? To the cross, into the grave, and then the resurrection. That's why he came. He said, I came to give my life that I might take it again. For you and me, it's really no different. We're just looking back. And if we're following the shepherd, we go to the cross, into the tomb, out of the grave, and we're saying, take me on to glory. I'm going to follow you all the way. To use another wording of scripture, he's the captain of our salvation. And our salvation is guaranteed because of who he is, not because of who you are, who I am. I'm thankful for that. And so I want to follow him. Are you his sheep? Are you his sheep? Let's pray. Father, I pray that the preaching of your word today has been an encouragement to those who are your sheep here today. And I pray also that the words of your only begotten Son that have been read and proclaimed today would be heard for the first time by some here today who have never heard with the ears of a sheep, that they might respond and know themselves to be a sheep of yours, and then to devote themselves to that relationship which you have called them to, out of darkness into your marvelous light, and follow you, to tune out the voices of this world, to tune out the voices of those who defy you and deny you and hate you and live life with no reference to you, and to find themselves filled with joy, peace, contentment of living with the flock, living out life as one of your sheep. We're thankful that we are secure. We're thankful that you are caring for us. We thank you for the hope we have of dwelling together forever with you. Speak to our hearts as you know there is need here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.